laugh at deserted old timelines behind me. My sandcastle molds all came without shovels. All our hopes will surely erode with time. Stone to sand, I just want to know.
Oopsie, oopsie, oopsie. All right, this is the test. Am I clipping? Am I clipping? Am I clipping? Am I clipping? I don't think so. Okay. I had to rush here. I thought the thing was going to play. It didn't play already. Probably the worst start ever. Listen, it's me. I'm at Mills. I'm like, I need food before I do this show. I go in to get food. The longest line ever for the Mexican food. And I don't want the Asian food. I don't want the wrap. I'm getting Mexican food, no matter what. I'll put it on everything. The Lord could thunderstrike me down right now if I'm lying. Every time that line is like almost out the door for the Mexican food, somebody, multiple people, are like, right now is the best time to order nachos. Those nachos take like 3 minutes to come out every single time. I'm pissed, guys. I'm sorry. This is going to be the... Watch. This is going to be the worst show ever. And then next show, I'm going to make an even worse show. And that's how we roll here. And you might be saying at home, what show is this? Oh. Oh, my God. It's Air Bud. It's Air Bud. My name is Joe. This is the slums of WONI 90.9 FM. It's the slums. This is self-proclaimed and could be proclaimed by you at home the worst show on the station. Let's get it. I don't have my air horns, but I would have played them. Imagine like me saying that again, and then it's like, bah, 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 worst show on WONI. It's the worst show because nobody knows what's going on. Do I know what's going on? No. But I have a couple tracks here, and I'm going to play them, and I'm going to talk about Super Smash Brothers Melee. That's the old one for the GameCube. It came out in 2001. We're niche here. I don't know if you can tell, I'm out of breath. I was literally running here. That's how bad it was. Whatever. That's what I gotta say. If you're an Oneonta goer listening right now, if the line for Mexican food is more than 10 people, do not order nachos. I think you should have your ID card taken away if you order nachos when there's that many people in line. I think it's disrespectful. I think it wastes other people's time. I don't want to wait in line for 15 minutes. That's what I just did. And it was awful. I did not enjoy it. Whatever, man. Okay. There's some changes happening at Air Bud. You can tell already. It's 5 minutes into the hour and he's still talking. Why is he still talking? Can he please stop talking? No. There's going to be a lot more talking on this show because I realized that my mouth, my words, I don't know how to phrase this. I'm a warrior and words are my weapon. That's for Nady Nate. Speaking of saying people's names and shouting people out, today, like actually today, like not I'm lying and saying that it's someone's belated birthday. Today for real is Asan's birthday back home. That's Mohammed, if you can't say his real name. Now this guy, he's like imagine like a Pakistani warrior, and he's like the strongest warrior in all of Pakistan. And then make him like 4'10", and he also lives in Richmond Hill. Shout out to Richmond Hill, by the way. If you're listening to this in Richmond Hill, zero people. But if you are, I don't love Richmond Hill. It's not that great, but I like the people there. I got a lot of friends from there. Yeah, so it's Mo's birthday. Everybody go wish him a happy birthday. NYC Asan on Instagram. And is that like an advertisement? I don't know, but you can go check him out. That, like, in parentheses, you know? Okay, reframing the show now. Here's the frame of the show. I'm going to play my stuff, and we're not going to play normal music anymore. I was playing niche music. That was, like, my whole thing. It was like, oh, it's so niche. And then I talk about my niche competitive video game that's from 2001, and it's 24 years old, but it's super sick, though. That's what I was doing before. No more of that. Now, I'm playing my own music. So, this isn't even like, oh, listen to this song that's got 1,000 listens. It's like, listen to the song that I made and isn't released yet. Isn't that awesome? You got 5 seconds to click off the show right now if that's not awesome. Oh, everybody stayed. It must be so awesome. Like I said, words are my weapon, right? I'm a warrior. Mo is a warrior too, like I said, from Pakistan. That's how we do here on Air Bud. It's going to be a lot of you at home playing a little game of, can you keep up with what I'm saying? Watch, I'm going to say bacon, egg, and cheese as fast as I can. Bacon, egg, and cheese. Ooh, you couldn't keep up with that, could you? All right, whatever. I'm tired of talking. So, I keep getting sidetracked. I'm so, like, let's just take a moment. I'm so happy to be back in the studio because now I'm a veteran. It's year two, baby. So I know what I'm doing in here. Watch, I'm going to stand up. I'm standing up right now, and I'm dancing while I'm talking on my show because that's how we do it here. Am I clipping? That's how we do it. I'm going to turn it down a little bit. Okay, what was I saying? I don't remember what I was saying. I'm just happy to be here. The smell of the studio is very nice, you know? It's like, it's something that you don't think you miss, but now that I'm smelling the sound absorbers, like, it has a very distinct smell, and it's a smell I enjoy because it means that I'm live on the radio, you know? My favorite thing to do. So, I'm gonna play my tracks, and I'm gonna talk about Melee, and I'm gonna do like a one half, whole half, one half type of thing. So I have 6 songs right here. I'm going to play, like, I'm looking at the lengths here. This adds 4. Do the math with me, guys. 4 plus 4 plus 4 is 12. Plus 2 is 14 plus 3.5 is 17.5. Wait, yeah, it is. Plus 2 is 19.5. So I have 20 minutes of music, almost, like around there. So I'm going to do 10, and then I'm going to talk, and then I'm going to do 10. And the show's going to start with me talking, then I play music, then I'm going to talk about Melee, and then it's going to end with music. And that's how I'm going to try and do it every single time, because I like routine, man of routine. If you're not disciplined with a good routine, that's how everything falls apart. So that's how we're going to do it. So if I have, look, again, once again, I'm currently still a math major. I'm thinking of switching it because why am I doing math? College is supposed to be fun, right, guys? Do the math with me again. I have 50 minutes left in the show, but I'm going to, you know, you got to leave a little time to get out. So let's say like, yeah, whatever, 50 minutes. If I have 20 minutes of music, that means theoretically I would have to talk for 30 minutes. That's a lot of talking. I don't have water with me at all. No drinks in the studio, guys. I don't have water with me. So it's a lot of talking. How do we combat that? Today we can't, but the only thing I can do is make more music, baby. So that's the plan. That's like the whole scroll of the Air Bud show for the rest of this semester and maybe future semesters laid out in front of you. Talking, music, talking, music. And then I'm out of here. That's how that works. Okay. I feel like I'm like given an agenda right now. This is like such a sprawl. But now that I gave like the outline for the show, and now I'm like going to reiterate it, but just with what I'm doing today. So right now I'm talking the filled out agenda is that I'm talking right now about talking about my show. That's what we're doing for the first section, which is what I'm doing right now, because I'm talking about how I'm setting up my show. It's one of those like meta things, right? Like it just keeps looping the more I say it. So that's what we're doing for the first section. Then I have trance music. I made some trance music that like da 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 da, you know what I'm saying? Trance music. I have 3 tracks of that. And then I'm going to talk about Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube, because there was just a major tournament called Riptide in Sandusky, Ohio, and there were some good matches, so I do want to talk about that. And then after that, I have, watch everyone's face grimace when I say this, I have some ambient shoegaze music that I produced myself. Doesn't that just like make your brain want to implode on itself saying those two words next to each other? Because they both suck. The word ambient and the word shoegaze should be like permanently removed from every dictionary on earth, I think. I think both of those words, like, they bring a sort of evil energy into the world, but I've combined them, you know? And the little Satan on my shoulder, he's a complex character. It's like Milton Satan, you know? So he was like, yeah, you should play the shoegaze for the first show. Like, let's have a terrible introduction. That's everything laid out. And here's the second part of Air Bud. We have to pray that our technology works, right? And right now, it doesn't look like it's working. No, it's not. This is what happens when you're not prepared. This is what happens when you, look, if you're a DJ on Wony listening to this, this is what happens when you come into the studio right when your show is starting. You always need that 5 minutes to set up, because now my technology is not working, which is low-key my fault for needing external technology to make this work, right? But it doesn't matter that much. I think as long as the sound is working, let's get a sound check. Oh, I don't think it's working. Oh, no. Oh, no. See, I told you we're falling apart here. Oh. It might be working. Let's hear that little Microsoft beep again, please. Did everyone hear the Microsoft beep? That means the technology is working, guys. Lock in, all right? Lock in. There's another one for you because I'm turning it down. I'm gonna do a third one. You keep hearing those Microsoft beeps. Let's get into the first track here, okay? Enough playing around, right? I forgot what I named the tracks. Uh-oh. But we're going to play the first one, and then the second one, and then the third one, and we're going to go down the line. And it's going to go wonderfully. Why would it ever go wrong? Here is the first track. It's short, it's calm, and I'm going to stop explaining because you can just listen to it when I play it right now.
Sky almost hit me.
dude, if we're talking scariest jump scares, okay? You're thinking like a thriller movie like Scream. You're thinking a game like Five Nights at Freddy's, right? See, I don't shy away from talking about the technical difficulties. I just got jump scared by my own deck. I'm using my trackpad. I'm like, oh, I gotta use the trackpad. And then in that last song, I don't know if you heard a cut, but it just lights up in front of me and it turns on and the thing says hardware connecting. And I'm like, oh no, it's gonna disconnect the audio. And then it disconnected it and it started playing it slower for some reason. Isn't that just like, man, like, are we not advanced enough as a society to just make tech that works instead of not working? Whatever, man. Here's the most important segment of the whole show, where I talk about Super Smash Brothers Melee. Yes, the old one. Yes, for the GameCube. Yes, it's 20 years old. Yes, we still play it. Yes, it's very niche, bro. It's very niche, very niche. That word has, like, overtaken my brain. But let's get into it. I turn into, like, a sports podcaster when I talk about Melee, because I just talk and talk and talk. I go over to Leo's room, my roommate, and I just talk and talk and talk about Melee like it's basketball. It's not. Nobody's betting on this. There's not millions of viewers, but I will talk about Melee, my little 10,000 viewer game, forever, because it's wonderful. And this weekend was Riptide. And wonderfully about Riptide is, like I said before, I don't know if you heard me, it's in Sandusky, Ohio, which means that it's on the East Coast, which means because Melee tournaments do finals on Sunday, a lot of the time I would have to stop watching either winners finals or grand finals and come into the studio, and then I'd start talking about Melee while grand finals is happening. How am I supposed to report the tournament if the winner has not been decided yet, right? Thankfully, it's an East Coast tournament, and they decided to do an early schedule, so it ended at like 5:30 p.m., and I was just ready. I was just ready this whole time. I had like 2 hours where I was like, put me in the studio. I want to talk about this tournament because it's one of those tournaments. Honestly, these don't happen a lot, but it was a very standard tournament except for like a few couple matches. Usually, like, because of how brackets work, one match is weird and then the next match is weird because someone got an upset and now like two weird players who aren't supposed to be playing each other are playing each other. Nah, this one ran pretty smoothly. There was just like a couple weird happenings, you know, matchups and whatnot. Before that though, obviously Oneonta as a school and the radio station by proxy is closed over the summer. So what happened to Melee this summer? What happened? I'm not going to go into it because summer is in the past and we live in the future. Isn't that correct? But Mango did get banned. I'm not going to go into it, but Mango's banned, so he was not at Riptide. And Zane won 3 tournaments in a row over the summer. And the last time someone won 4 in a row was 7 years ago. So this is like a big thing. And the spoiler alert is that he won. So Zane got his 4-piece. First time in 7 years, 4 major tournaments won in succession. And 3 of them were super majors, which means, look, what is it? Lingo heads at home, super major means that either all of the top 10 or like 9 out of 10 of the top 10 were present at that event, playing together for very, very prestigious tournaments. I don't know what else to say. It's just a lot of good players there. The more good players, the more majory it gets. And at a certain point of majorism, it becomes a super major. This was not a super major, however. Riptide was just your standard major. Moki was not there. And I think that's it, really, out of the top 10. No, Triff was not there. So Moki and Triff were not there. They were in Spain and Canada, where they live. you know, L for not being American. You know, if you're American, just drive over to Ohio. But they live in whack backwards countries, so they could not attend. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm gonna start. I like to start back in pools, and pools was pretty standard. Nothing really crazy. I would say though, as I was watching pools, I was looking at the bracket. The seeding for this tournament, I'm not going to call it a Mickey Mouse tournament because it wasn't that bad, but the seeding was pretty awful. I'm like, if you don't know what, okay, lingo heads at home, if you don't know what seeding means, when you make a bracket, you have to organize the matches. Say there's four people in a bracket. The first seed will play the fourth seed, and the second seed will play the third seed, so that the best player plays the worst player, so that he's not playing the second best player in the first round. You set it up so that the first seed and the second seed will play each other in grand finals. That's how brackets work. Okay. Thank you, lingo heads at home, for enjoying that. The seeding was whack. The reason the seeding was whack was because SDJ, who's this up-and-coming Jigglypuff player, was seeded to get top eight, and he did not get top eight at all. In my opinion, who should have been seeded top eight? Ginger or Aklo, who were both there and are both top 10 contenders right now. Ginger just got fourth at the biggest tournament in like 10 years. So, I don't know, I feel like that warrants him just getting a measly 7th place seed at this tournament. But no, we give it to SDJ, who's been like scraping top 8s. I don't understand. I just don't understand the seeding. It was really whack. And speaking of SDJ, not to just like absolutely rain on him and, you know, mollywop him with my words, but SDJ got whooped at this tournament. He was seeded to get 7th place and he got 33rd, which means that he did, wait, I'm low-key stupid. Do the math for me, guys. He placed 4 matches below his seed, which is like really, really, like really bad, okay? He lost to Poppy and Joey Donuts. And that Joey Donuts set was sick because I was watching it with Leo and I was popping off because Joey Donuts plays Falco. I play Falco. I love Joey Donuts. He's a genius of the melee mind. And he beat SDJ, which is a great win because SDJ just got ranked top 10, which means Joey now has a win on a top 10 player, which means Joey Donuts could be in that top 40 slot, top 30 slot. Pretty nice win. Okay, speaking of Poppy, who beat SDJ way back in pools, it was actually a crazy match. It was a really good, I think we went game 5. It was a really good set. He got top 8. He got 7th place. Great for him. He beat someone really good, but I just cannot remember who it was. I think it was a Fox Ditto. You know, that matchup's kind of wishy-washy, Mickey Mouse type matchup. You know, 50-50 coin flip every time type of matchup. But really good for him. Probably seals like at least low top 50 slot for him. So very good beating SDJ. You know, everyone was beating SDJ. Even though you only lose twice in the tournament, it feels like everyone beat SDJ at this tournament. Feel bad for him, you know, because he's been very locked in this year and he let one slip, which you can't really do in the modern game. You know, talking about the modern game, you can't really do that. You gotta be consistent, consistent, consistent. Speaking of SDJ, who does play Jigglypuff, the little ball Pokemon that puffs up, you know, and looks like really annoying, and I hate her, you know, there was a disproportionate amount of Jigglypuffs present in the top 32 of this tournament. Let's once again do the math. There were 6 Jigglypuffs in top 32. If there are like 7 viable characters in Melee, that's more Jigglypuffs than you'd expect, you know? Why are there so many Jigglypuffs? It was SDJ, HBox, Dawson, OG Kid was there, Michael was there, which is crazy that Michael got top 32. Shout out to Michael. He's back. This tournament, this was a big tournament of a lot of people returning, you know? So speaking of Michael, he's back. Gatsu was back. Joey Donuts is low-key, he's always been there, but like he's like back as like a powerhouse, you know, SoCal legend, you know. So that was good to see. But in contrast to there being so many Jigglypuffs playing at this tournament, there were zero peaches. There were only two Falcos in the top 32. That's absolutely criminal. I'm lying. There were three. It was Ginger, KJH, who's a legend as well, and Joey Donuts. So only three Falcos. There was, like, I think one Marth, and that's Zane, playing at this tournament in top 32. What is that? Why are there absolutely zero Marths at all? It just does not make sense, right? Same with Falcon. There were like four Falcons, I believe, in top 32. So, you know, where are the other characters going? Everybody at this tournament, I swear, every match was Fox versus Sheik. So many Foxes and so many Sheiks at this one tournament. And I was getting sick of it, honestly. At the end of day two, they were running behind schedule because there was like a Puff Ditto. It was like Dawson and HBox. That match took like actually 40 years to finish. And losers, you know, it was... Why am I misremembering like everything? It was Max. Max is a Sheik player from the UK. And he had to play three matches in a row on stream. So he was sitting in the same chair for 45 minutes, probably more than that, maybe an hour straight, just playing one match, and he beat him. And then he played another match and he won that match. And then he played a third match against Faust and he beat Faust. And it was like game five. Two of the sets were game five. The other one was, I think, 3-1. So he played like nearly 15 games straight, just like also in losers, which sucks. So shout outs to that, I guess. They were all hard matchups too. It was a Cheek Fox, which is hard, Cheek Puff, which is like really hard, and I think a Sheik Ditto, which is like fine. Max is good at the Sheik Ditto, so it doesn't really matter. Speaking of Sheik Puff, here's one of the big matches. I think there were three kind of big matches at this tournament, and one of them in top eight was J-Mook and HBox. J-Mook is this very calm, cool, collected Sheik player. HBox, he's the GOAT. Don't tell anyone I said that, but he is. And J-Mook was like, in the Sheik Puff matchup, you lose two games automatically if you're the Sheik player, because you lose on Dreamland, and FD also sucks. So you kind of just like have to tank two, and you have to win three games with your back against the wall in that matchup. But J-Mook, it was a 3-2. You know, he didn't get that extra like, oh, damn, he won on Dreamland kind of game. No. It was 3-2, but J-Mook was just like, it was the most ruthless neutral I've ever seen. I wouldn't say it looked sloppy, but, like, it was almost sloppy. Like, he was throwing out risky options, and I was just watching it like damn, like, oh, that kind of emotion that you get. But amazing, like, so locked in against the Puff. And he finally stopped spamming grab, because you're never going to grab a Crouching Jigglypuff. That's just, HBox is the best at the world at holding down on his controller. It's his favorite thing to do. Hold down stick, and HBox did that for the whole set, and J-Mook got in there and gave him a 1-2-3 for crouching. That's what you get for crouching. That's what he was saying to HBox. Just a wonderful set. So that was HBox losing in winners. Now we move to HBox losing in losers bracket, because Axe, here, look, out of this whole tournament, literally nothing, I'll put it on my life, literally nothing matters as much as this one match. The whole other rest of the tournament is like 1%. This match is 99%, because Axe beat Hungrybox. Now, hey, they're two like top 20 players, top 10 players. That's not that crazy. You know, shouldn't they be beating each other all the time? No, because Jigglypuff versus Pikachu is one of the most egregious matchups in the game. Some days, HBox could be playing the worst ever, but he has Axe in his bracket, and it's a free win. And every time I've watched those sets, I've just, like, inside, I just feel nothing. It's like, it's handed to him on a silver platter, beating Axe. But Axe did it because he switched to Fox. He tried this at, was it Tipped Off? It was some tournament. He tried it before. I think this is go number 3 at the Fox versus HBox, and it worked in 3 tries. Now, I'm going to give you the history. Their first 5 sets they play, all the way back. This is like 2011, 2012, 2013. HBox wins their first 5 sets. He's 5-0. MLG Anaheim in 2014, Axe wins 1 set with Pikachu. I'll give it to him with Pikachu. You know, this is before HBox is the like most dominant player ever type of deal, right? But still beats him. That's in 2014. Now we fast forward 11 years and 28 sets straight where Axe loses to HungryBox and he finally beats him. 28 straight in 11 years. That means that's a lot of sets. If they're not meeting grand finals, like 3 a year does not sound like a lot, but having to play HungryBox 3 times a year, where it basically means that like if you have him in your bracket, you're automatically losing a set for that tournament. Winning one, I don't know. He was tweeting like he was like on a different planet. Like Axe was so happy about this win. And I think it's great for the game. I don't think it's great for the game that it's more Fox Puff, but I think it's great for the game that Axe, who is a long, long time veteran, is still in it, you know? Like, that's always good to see that these older players are not fizzling out to what the new guard of this, like, tech-heavy Foxes are, like, throwing at them, you know what I mean? And tech-heavy Puffs as well. Like, HBox is still the best Puff in the world, you know? And OG Kid is not passing him anytime soon. What else do we got here? Moth. I'm going to talk about Moth only because I'm biased. I like the Ice Climbers as opposed to many. You know, there was only one Ice Climbers in top 32. It was Moth. Okay. So, what am I about to say about Moth? I think she got shafted, unfortunately. She had to play someone who's like a top 8 contender in winners and then falls down to losers. And look, I should probably pull up the bracket on my phone so I could know who she played, but she did get saved because she was about to play Dawson. And here's the look, matchup heads at home, here's the thing. Dawson plays Jigglypuff, Moth plays Ice Climbers. Jigglypuff beats the Ice Climbers. It's like a 70-30 matchup, like almost 80-20. That is like one of the worst matchups in the entire game. She dodged it because lowercase hero beat Dawson, which is a great upset for him, but he was out right after that, unfortunately, to Moth. So she goes to top, what is that even called, like top 17? It's, I don't know, whatever. She's there and unfortunately has to play Morse Code, which gives Morse Code the top 16 spot, which is like, I guess, great for Morse Code, but like, I don't want to see Samus on my screen. Let's run it back. Matchup heads at home. Morse Code plays Samus. Moth plays Ice Climbers. Samus versus Ice Climbers is even worse than Jigglypuff, in my opinion. It is probably like 90-10. That might be the worst matchup out of the top tiers. Probably not, though. Peach is worse for Ice Climbers. Ice Climbers got a lot of hard matchups, okay? That's just how that character works. So, on top of the WAC seeding, we already have WAC seeding. And now, my favorite player that I want to see keep going is shafted with a terrible bracket where she was supposed to play a Puff. And then if she beat that Puff, she had to play a Samus, which is like, that's the type of, for an Ice Climbers player, like, you beat one floaty, that's the only floaty you get that tournament. That's like a, you got a lucky ticket to go to the next round. Like, you should be thanking Jesus for that one type of thing. But that's just how it works, you know, unfortunately. But I'm starting to think there was some dark omen around this tournament because the seeding was so whack and because everybody got shafted with bad brackets. Because think of it, too. Axe had to play Cody into HBox in losers. Like, how did that happen, right? It's sort of a dark omen that Axe beat, which might have lifted the curse off of Melee. But maybe I'm just rambling and there isn't a curse on Melee because Melee's still going strong. Okay. I'm gonna round this out for the next like 8 minutes and then I'm gonna play music. Actually less than 8 minutes, like 5 minutes, and then we're gonna play music and then I'm out of here. It's time to enough of this chat about random players, because who even is Balloon Day? Why do you like, I'm talking about random local level foxes from the Midwest. Why are we doing that? Nobody wants to hear about Dreffin anymore. It's not 2002. We want to hear about top eight. So here's top eight. There wasn't a lot. It was a pretty standard top eight, other than Axe beating HBox. But I gotta say, there was a lot of like, I feel like you get this at every tournament now because everyone's so good, but there was a lot of sets of like, ooh, that was like really close, you know, but the better player still won. But it was like game five, and like he was only up three stocks in game five. Like he could have come back type of thing. Like Joshman went game five with Zane and won a game on FD, which I think is like cool. Like, is that still cool to win a game on FD as Fox against Marth? Or is that matchup just like a wash? Like, real heads at home need to inform me on that, because I'm not updated. I'm still in like 2021 mode where we're cheering on Mango for doing it twice, right? But they went game five. It was actually a really good set. Like, Joshman is like, he just got ranked fourth in the world, and it shows that he's fourth in the world, which is good to see, because you don't want to see someone get that like super high rank where it's like, oh, they gave Joshman fourth in the world, and then see them peter out. You know, you want to see them stay consistent. And especially because he's from Australia and has to travel so far to get these tournaments, like, claps for Joshman for doing that well. You know, amazing, you know. Josh has always been like one of my favorite players to watch, even if he's kind of lame. But, you know, whatever. What was I going to say? Then, okay, so in winners, Josh loses to Zane, goes to the loser's bracket. Axe beats Hungrybox in the loser's bracket. Now, Axe has to play Joshman. I thought, going into this, I was like, Joshman is going, even though it's Joshman, and he plays patient, and he's, like, boring himself, he's going to get bored of Axe sitting in the corner, and he's going to jump in, and he's going to get gimped. That was my thought. I was like, it's going to be, like, 3-1 Axe, or, like, 3-2, but it's, like, not that close in the last game type of thing that I was just explaining. It was pretty bad, honestly. Joshman, like, was just going at Axe. Like, he was killing him. He was calling him out. You know, oof. Like, that was... It was almost... Because I don't know, like, where his momentum went. Because you just beat HBox, if you're Axe, just beat HBox for the first time in 11 years. It's like, oh, yeah, I can win the tournament now. But instead of that, it's like, no, let me just run into Fox up smash and like keep getting jabbed. Like, this is the best way to play. Because Axe wasn't sitting in the corner. Even though it's lame, I think you should just sit in the corner against Fox if you're Pikachu. I think that's the smartest play to make. Maybe, you know, real heads in the chat, maybe he should have played the Fox Ditto and gone for the lopsided coin flip that maybe has like a 10% chance of hitting. Maybe that's the meta. If you're the worst, yo, I just, like, I'm predicting the future of Melee. In 10 years, everyone's going to be doing this. You have to play a better player. They play Fox. Best course of action, play a Fox Ditto and try and spike them every stock. And you just roll the lopsided coin flip instead of losing just normally to the better player. You lose in this sort of lamer way where you wanted to cheese them out, but you couldn't. I think that's the direction that Melee should go. All right. Now we're starting to round out. So, J-Mook is... Let me frame this, okay? Do some framing right now. Joshman beats Axe, loses to J-Mook. I think, yeah, loses to J-Mook. He gets fourth at the tournament. the three players left in the tournament now, now that I'm like, I'm doing this thing where I'm going through top eight, like I'm explaining it to you like a story in chronological order. The top three of this tournament were Zane, Cody, and J-Mook. That, you know, to the non-real heads at home, to the fake heads at home, that might just be three names. But to the real heads at home who were obsessively watching Melee in 2022, seeing a Zane, Cody, J-Mook, like, final three in this year, even though it's only been 3 years, in this year, it was warming my heart, you know? Those three, that's just how you know, like, this tournament was not Mickey Mouse, because these three are in the top three. And they have, like, the problem with HBox is that Puff is just awful. Like, why Jigglypuff? Even though J-Mook plays Sheik and we don't like Sheik, nobody likes Sheik, it's a better rock, paper, scissors, because J-Mook Sheik kind of beats Zane's Marth, and Zane's Marth kind of beats Cody's Fox, and Cody's Fox kind of beats J-Mook Sheik, but they're also all really good at the reverse matchup there. So it creates these, like, really fun-to-watch sets no matter who is playing who, because there's that sort of rock, paper, scissors thing going on. Instead of it just being like, okay, well, now Zane has to play HBox's Puff, and okay, now Cody has to play HBox's Puff, and now Zane and Cody are going to play each other. You know, it's a lot better than that. Here are my final thoughts. We're going to go through top three. Cody beat J-Mook after losing to Zane in winners finals, and then obviously Cody has to play Zane in grand finals again. Cody did get the bracket reset for winning the first set, but real heads in chat, brackets, you know how brackets work. If you go to the loser's bracket and then you get to grand finals, you have to win two sets instead of one set, because you have to knock the dude in the winner's bracket down to the loser's bracket, and then you have to eliminate him, so you have to win two sets. It kind of makes sense when you think about it, really. Real heads in chat, thank you. But, yeah, he got the bracket reset, and then Zane just won in very Zane fashion. You know, it was game four on FD. Like, Cody took game three, and then it went to FD. And Zane was up, like, 4-2. And I just left the room, and I was like, yo, Leo, Zane's won four tournaments, like, in a row. Like, that hasn't been done. I was explaining to him the whole lore on, like, four tournaments. And Leo was like, oh, cool. And then I walk back in, and they're, like, rolling ads because the tournament's over and I missed the last two stocks. But, like, I didn't even need to check. Everyone in chat was just, like, talking about Zane. I was like, okay, yeah, of course Zane won. If it was that quick, then Zane won. And he, in fact, did. That is it for Melee Talk. That was all of Riptide. If you couldn't keep up with how fast I was talking, because I tend to talk fast about Melee, all you got to know is Joey Donuts is the GOAT for beating SDJ. Nice rock, paper, scissors in Final Three. And especially, go tell your mom that Axe beat Hungrybox for the first time in 11 years, guys. Yay. Round of applause. Okay. Riptide was great. That's it. Melee Talk over. We're going back to music. This is that ambient shoegaze I was talking about. And anytime, like, while it's playing, you can sort of, like, feel all of your organs, like, starting to wither away and die while I play it, because it's such a sinister sort of genre thing that's going on. All right? So we're going to play that right now. I'm going to start with this one because I know it's good. And you play the best one first so that when people are listening, oh, my God, I only have 9 minutes left. Okay, we got to go through this quicker, talk quicker. You play the best one first when you're playing your own music, because then people can, like, when it starts to get worse and they're like, oh, this isn't as good, they can be like, oh, but that first one was pretty good. Like, what was the name of that one? You know what I mean? Like, real heads in chat, no. Okay, we're going to play music now. This is the last you'll hear from me. It's just going to end, right? I'm just going to play music and then I'm going to leave Irish goodbye, but kind of not, because my goodbye is right now. I'm going to leave you with 9 minutes of this, 8 minutes of this music. This was the first Airbud. It was as bad as I thought it would be. But thank you so much for listening, and enjoy once again the next 8 minutes of music. Okay. If we talk about tech problems, right? There's my deck not working, and now my computer isn't working. Like, isn't that just the most wonderful thing, like, ever? Like, wow, like, my whole computer is not working right now. We're gonna run it back, okay? I need everyone listening to cross your fingers and say, please let him play his really bad, like ambient, whatever he said. I don't remember what he said, but it was something, like, really pretentious and annoying. But, like, just let his computer work. That's what I need you to cross your fingers and say exactly that. And let's get this working for real now.
sunset view on a wonderful vacation, but those dead carnations are the one thing I can see. Instead of